Amen. Good to see you. Good to be here. Good to see you. I just wanted to add one word on Teresa's too, that a lot of you are going to be starting a new season pretty soon. A different season. You're used to the old seasons, and that's good. Old seasons are great, and God accomplishes great in those old seasons, but you're about to start something new. You're about to start a new season in your life. Amen. And I just want to encourage you, you are well able. You are well able. All right? As some of you cross that Jordan, you are well able. And you got to remember that in Christ. Not in us, in Christ, you are well able. Things that have been sown into you these past few years, this past year, these past few months, things that God has done, as Pastor Teresa says, you are well able. Well, for what? Well, whatever God has for you. Whatever God has for you, you are well able. No fear. Not when we know the God that we have. Even if we don't know exactly how things are going to work out or exactly where you may be going, one thing is for sure, you are well able, praise God, in Jesus Christ. And I want you to really receive that and hold on to that. No matter what we feel, no matter what we think, I choose to go with what God says. And God says I'm well able, and you are well able, praise God. It's going to be a good new season, a great new season in things of God. Whatever he leads you, whatever he has for you, embrace that. It's going to be okay. No fear, no worry. You are well equipped. God is there with you. His strength, everything is going to work out. And you'll see where he's going to take you. So just accept that and embrace that. You're well able. You're well able in Jesus' name. Amen? Everybody say amen. All right, good. We'll go with that. Just want to pray. Just want to encourage you with some words that God gave me today. Father, I thank you, God. Father, thank you, God, that your words are words of life, God. Always, Lord Jesus. And Father, thank you that your words today, God, will be words of life once again, Lord Jesus. Father, thank you, God, for taking us to a place where you want us to be, Lord God. We simply follow you. We believe you, Lord God. So, Lord, I thank you that the words today, God, will be able to see you clearer, God. Maybe see you in ways we haven't thought of, Lord Jesus. But, Father, I thank you that today, God, you reveal yourself in such a beautiful way, God, that will encourage all in this building today, Lord God. Lord, we love you. We love you so much, God, because we know how much you love us, God. And in that love, God, is all that we need, God. Anytime, any place, God, that love is all that we need, Lord Jesus. So, Father, thank you, God, for a word truly in season, in Jesus' name, amen, amen. Well, as you start to do something new beginning in the next few days, I just want to encourage you with something that God put on my heart that spoke to me some time ago. One thing I love about the Word of God, I love a lot of things about the Word of God, but one thing I love about this Word of God, it tells me who I am. It tells me who I'm not, but it tells me who I am. It tells me what I can do, what I can't do, praise God. But it shows me my identity in Christ. It shows me who I am. For example, it tells me that you are more than a conqueror. I love that. That you are an overcomer when we read the Word of God. I love that. The Word of God says that you are my beloved. Oh, I love that. You are my beloved. You are the apple of my eye, the Lord says. All those you are's. You are mine, he says in Isaiah. You are mine when you pass through those waters. He says, you are the light of the world when we walk in this world. And I love that. But there's one you are I want to speak about today. And maybe it's something that we maybe don't spend a lot of time on, but I want to share with you. You are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. What is that? So bear with me as I build on something. You are the salt of the earth. Anybody ever heard that term? Someone is worth their salt. That's a kind of old term. Anybody ever heard that term? Nobody. Okay, you guys. Okay, good. Yeah, making me feel old, you guys. But it's an older term that somebody's worth their salt. Years ago, thousands of years ago, salt used to be a really precious commodity. They used to trade and barter with salt. Roman soldiers, thousands of years ago, got paid with salt. It was so valuable. They got their sometimes a year pay, their weekly pay in salt because it was so valuable. So I want to speak about you, me, especially as we start something new, when we leave this place. One of the things that we have to remember through God and through that infilling of the Holy Ghost, that wherever you go, whatever you do, you are the salt of the earth. And the earth needs the salt of Jesus Christ. Let me explain what that is. Amen. I want you to turn to Numbers chapter 18. If you get your Bibles, turn there. We're going to go a few places today. In Numbers chapter 18. And in Numbers chapter 18, I'm going to lay a little foundation, so bear with me, okay? In Numbers chapter 18, verse 19, we speak about something called the covenant of salt. Let me explain what that is. In Numbers 18, verse 19 to 20. Let's read that. And I'll just be reading out of the New King James today. Numbers 18, verse 19 says, all the heave offerings of the holy things, this is now the Lord speaking, which the children of Israel offered to the Lord, I have given you and your sons and daughters. I'll explain what this is. with you as an ordinance forever. It is a covenant of salt forever, because the Lord with you and your descendants with you. And then the Lord said to Aaron, you shall have no inheritance in the land, nor shall you have any portion among them, for I am your portion and your inheritance among the children of Israel. Now here's God speaking to Aaron and his sons, who are about to be the priest. They're going to be the priest conducting the services. They're in the tabernacle. But they're not going to have to have a job like everyone else. They're going to have priestly roles. They're not going to have to be farmers to get their food. They're not going to have to take care of the sheep or be carpenters. They're the priestly role. And what God is saying, you're not going to have to work like all the others. I'm going to take care of you. Your inheritance is going to be me. I'm going to be there. And God says, I'm confirming that, what he calls a covenant of salt. In other words, saying, I'm going to be your inheritance. I'm going to be your portion. I'm going to be what you need. Don't worry about how it's going to be provided for. Don't worry about how things are going to work out. God says, I'm your inheritance. See, because they would have no earthly inheritance, but they would have a godly inheritance. And God, he said, and he confirmed that, well, what he calls a covenant of salt. There's that salt, a covenant of salt. And God is saying, even to us today, don't worry about those things yet to be. I have a covenant with you. I'm your inheritance. I'm your portion. Listen, when we die, when we go, we're not going to take anything with us. I just wanted to give that profound proclamation right now. We're not taking anything with us. I mean, we may want, but you're not going to be able. What did you bring into the world when you were born? What did you bring? Shirts, a couple of toothpastes, anything at all? No, you didn't bring anything. Okay, so we're not going to bring anything out of this world. I know some people in my church, I got some steamer trunks of stuff they want to take with them, but it's not going to get through the gate, I'll tell you that right now. So we don't take anything with us. But what is our inheritance? God. The things of God. He's our portion. I love when David cried out in Psalm 119, I think it's verse 57, Lord, you are my portion. You are all I need. And God confirmed that with what he called a covenant of salt when he was speaking to Aaron and his sons. That we have that covenant today, that don't worry about how you're going to be provided for. God says, I'm your portion. I'm what you need. Come to me. Whatever you need, whatever it may be, whatever situation you may be in, God says, trust me, I got a covenant with you. I'm not going to break my covenant with you. But see, the thing is, do we believe that? Do we have it in here? Or do we go by just the circumstances in our life? We're up or down? No. God, you said that you'd be my portion, God. God, you said you'd be my inheritance, God. That's all I need, Lord God. Everything else will work out, this and that, whatever. But there was that covenant of salt that he spoke about that was a measure of God's commitment to us, God's promise to us. Focus on heavenly things, just as we should be, confirmed by a covenant of salt. Quickly, turn to Leviticus chapter 2. Bear with me as I build up here, okay? Leviticus chapter 2, right in verse 13. He speaks about, in this particular case, about the grain offering. And we'll relate these to the New Testament in a minute, okay? Leviticus chapter 2, right in verse 13, the word of God says, and every offering of your grain offering you shall season with salt. There's that salt again. You shall season with salt. You shall not allow the salt of the covenant of your God, there's a covenant, to be lacking from your grain offering. With all your offerings you shall offer salt. Wow. See, what he's saying is what makes a sacrifice acceptable is that salt. What makes it acceptable and pleasing to God is that salt. We'll explain that in a second, okay? Is that salt that made the offering acceptable to God. Quickly turn to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. Let's go there. And in Mark chapter 9, remember this grain offering of salt, okay? The salt made the offering acceptable. In Mark chapter 9, right in verse 50, look at the word of God says, as Jesus speaks. He says, salt is good, but if the salt loses its flavor, how will you season it? In other words, it can't get its flavor back once it's gone. So he says, have salt in yourselves and have peace with one another. Have salt in yourselves. Words of Christ. Have salt in yourselves, okay, and have peace with one another. What's he talking about? Well, let's look at salt for a little bit. There's many aspects of salt. I want to speak about three today. One of the first things about salt is that it's flavoring. Anybody here use salt at all? On meat or something, you know, hamburger or whatever. It's some things that may be a little tasteless. You pour salt on, maybe brings the taste a little bit, right? You pour too much salt, you guys say, it's too much. But salt is a flavoring. It gives something flavor. It gives something a little spice of life. It makes it taste better. It's a little bit better. It's that flavoring of what we say. And I believe with all my heart, one of the first things when spiritually is that salt is a character and nature of Christ. That salt in us by the presence of the Holy Ghost. That's the flavoring of Christ that we have inside of us. That flavoring, that sweet savior of Christ. That's what we have inside of us as we're born again, as we're filled with the Holy Ghost. There's something inside of us that the world doesn't have. And it's that sweet savior, it's that flavor of Christ, that salt of Christ that we bring with us. No matter where we go, no matter what situations, we are the salt of the earth. And one of the aspects is we bring that flavor of Christ to whatever situation that we're in. Whether it be our words, whether it be our thoughts, whether it be our situations that we face, it always makes the difference. And it makes us different. That salt, that fragrance of Christ. Oh, it's so amazing to see sometimes when people walk into the room, you can tell who the Christians are. They bring something with them. They bring that flavor, that heart of Christ. The words of Christ, whether it be his kindness, his grace, his mercy, his love, whatever it may be, that character or nature of Christ, that's what we have inside. That's what we bring with us, wherever we go, whatever we do, because that's who we are. We are the salt of the earth. That's who we are. That's our identity. And that's why we pray, God, give me strength to be salt, God. Oh, I know we go through hard times. I understand that. I know we go through situations that may make us angry, hurt, or sad, or afraid. I understand that. And we need to deal with those things before God. But don't get so focused on the external things that we lose our salt. That we lose that fragrance of Christ. I know it's hard sometimes. I know that. I know that. But there's got to be a cry inside each and every one of us. God, cause me to be that salt, Lord Jesus. Cause me to be that salt, Lord God. That I bring wherever I go that flavor of Christ, God. That heart of Christ, God. Wherever I go. The Word of God says in Exodus, we don't have to read it for time's sake, but in Exodus chapter 30, right in verse 34, when God gave Moses the prescription, so to speak, the ingredients that would fill up the incense in the tabernacle, he says, I want you to use this incense and this incense. And he said, make sure when you make the incense, you season it with salt. That would burn in the tabernacle in Moses' time. Season that incense with salt. And that's in Exodus chapter 30, verse 34 to 36. Season it with salt. What's he saying? I want that sweet smell, the sweet incense of the Lord. That salt, that fragrance of Christ. That's who you and I are. And many of us are about to face maybe, like I said, a new season in our life. And maybe part of new season's got to be everything I've learned here, God, for the past year, 2 years, whatever it may be, God. That salt inside of me, God, let me bring that with me, God. Let me bring that with me wherever I go. What's another aspect of salt? One of the great aspects of salt is they use it as a preservative. They used years ago when they didn't have refrigerator, they would pour it on meat and like salted fish and salted meat. It would be a preservative. And I love that. That salt is a preservative. And God says, have salt in yourself. In other words, have that preservative in you. Keep away from the corruption and decay of the world. Let that salt, that separation, let it keep you separate. Don't fall for the world. You don't have to be like the world. You don't have to act like the world and dress like the world and talk like the world. You've got something so wonderful inside you. He said, let that salt preserve that. Let that salt hold you. Let that salt of the life of Christ keep you separate. That you don't have to be like the world or fall back into the world. No. See, sometimes I visit many churches. Sometimes I walk into church. I don't know if it's a church or a dance hall. I don't know. There's so much world these days and so many churches. So much of the world, and they've lost their salt. It's one of the reasons I believe in all my heart that the church, is our nation, is in the shape it is in today. I think for the most part over the years, the church has lost its salt. It's preservative. It's flavoring. We've gotten so like the world. I think years ago, the church was the mainstay of the culture, American society. The church was the mainstay. Everything revolved around church years ago. It was the mainstay of our culture. Now, over the years, it's been a little bit separate. We've lost some of that mainstay of the culture of the world. There's a book out a while ago that the church is a counterculture. And maybe that was true a while ago. But things have gotten so bad, I believe now the church is the anti-culture. It's not just an existing culture with the world culture. It's an anti-culture. It's against Christianity. It changed so much. And I think one of the reasons why that, I think over years we've lost our salt. That flavor of Christ, we've gotten so worldly, we've gotten so tied in with the world, we've lost that. I really believe that's one of the reasons why I think we see what we see in our nation today. Church is no longer the mainstay of culture. I believe it's the anti-culture these days. But salt is a preservative. Let that salt preserve your purity. Preserve your heart. Preserve your mind for Christ. Let that salt keep you separate. Oh, I know we're in the world. I know that. But let that salt keep you separate in here, in our heart, in our life, in our identity. That's where God has you, praise God. And I think another aspect of salt I want to speak about before I tie this all together is, what's another aspect of salt? Anybody know what a salt lick is? Any farmers here? Anybody know what a salt lick is? Salt lick? Okay, a couple of you. A salt lick is kind of salt pressed together to make like a block of salt, and it's so hard. They use it for deer like it. They, you know, sometimes hunters get that and deer like to lick the salt. But it's so hard because one of the aspects of salt, it has a cohesive characteristic. That salt block is kind of like a cement. It's kind of like a stone. It's so hard. It's so hard to break because the salt crystals have such a cohesive factor to them. Years ago, I know you guys aren't going to remember, but years ago there was this commercial for Morton Salt, and they would pour Morton Salt on this corn, and it would advertise, this is a salt that clings. This is salt that clings. You don't remember that, do you, Pastor Tracy? You don't remember that, Morton? Okay. Okay, good. We'll talk later. All right, but you know, a lot of people don't remember that, but it was a salt that clings. That was their advertisement, and it clings. That's one of the characteristics of salt. It has a cohesive factor. It brings together. It holds together no matter what. See, that's one of the reasons why we're the salt of the earth. That we got to speak unity and oneness and intimacy with Christ. Not division, not separateness. See, that's not salt. See, the devil will do anything he can to separate you from what God has for you. He'll do anything he can to divide you. Get you isolated. Make you thinking of yourself. A little maybe self-pity coming in your heart. The word of God says, no, you're the salt of the earth. No, we speak cohesion, oneness, unity, praise God. That's who we are. Not those who divide, not those who get caught in strife. We are salt. What does salt do? We're together in this thing. We're one in this thing. It's not about me. It's about us. It's about you. Sometimes we're so quick to walk away. Sometimes we're so quick to get mad. Sometimes we're so quick to let a relationship go. Now, I'm not talking about necessary divisions. That's a different thing when it comes to sin. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about it in our daily life right now. Sometimes we're so quick to let it go when God says, no, speak unity to that thing. See, sometimes we're so easily offended and we separate, maybe not physically, but we separate in our heart first. And God says, no, you're salt. It's not about you being offended. It's not about you being mad right now. It's about maybe that other person who you're supposed to esteem more highly than yourselves. Because maybe you don't know what they're going through and how they see things. And you're supposed to bring a unity there, bring a oneness there. That's what we're about. That's why we're the salt of the earth. This is what we do as we're filled with the Holy Ghost. That cohesion, praise God. Ever try to hold sand in your hand when you go to the beach? You try to hold sand in your hand? Can't do it. Why? Because it's got no cohesive factor. You can't hold sand and build on that. Why? There's nothing to hold it together. And sometimes so many people build their lives on that sand. The world's way, our own feelings, our own way. And it's building our life on sand. There's no cohesion there, and it's not going to stand. You know the scripture in Matthew 7? It's not going to stand. We've got to build on that rock, that hardened salt, praise God. That's what we build on. That's where it stands. What are you building on? What are you building some of your relationships on? Is it the sand of our feelings? The sand of other people's influence? Or is it truly the rock of faith in Christ Jesus? See, that's the difference right there. Word of God says in Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, our speech should be seasoned with grace and with salt. How are we doing talking to one another? How's our speech? Sometimes I get one thing I have to watch for me is sometimes I can be real snippy. I know you're saying, oh, not Pastor Angel. He's so wonderful and great. What a man. No, I can be a little snippy sometimes. And sometimes use words that would maybe bite. And Lord, I gotta catch that, God. That's a lot of things have died, but I'm still working on some things with that. So God, let me be salt, God. Let my words be seasoned with salt. In other words, let my words reflect Christ. Let my words reflect unity, oneness, that cohesion. Let my words speak out purity, separation from the world. Let my words reflect the flavor of Christ. in situations I'm at, no matter what it may be. And you know what? Sometimes people get me really angry sometimes. Some people in church may say something, sometimes on purpose, sometimes accidentally. And they may say something that may hurt me or may make me very angry or whatever. And I just can't come out and just, like I used to do, just knocking down. I can't do that. And I don't want to do that because I'm not that guy anymore. So I got to say, Lord, let my words right now be seasoned with salt, oh God. Let them see you right now. I don't want to react, God. I don't want to dump on them, God. Let them see you, Lord God. And it's that dying to self. It's that knowledge that we're the salt of the earth. Who's God going to use? Who's he going to use to flavor this world? Who's he going to use? He can send angels. He's going to do that. He's going to send you and me, the salt of the earth. Quickly, turn to the 2 Kings chapter 2. Turn there. 2 Kings chapter 2. Quick story about Elisha. 2 Kings chapter 2. Elisha just took over the ministry from Elijah. Elijah just went up to heaven, and here's Elisha accepting the mantle of Elijah. And what he's doing now is he's beginning his ministry now. His name means God saves. So his ministry is going to be marked with deliverance and healing and miracles like that. So here he is now. He's beginning his ministry, Elisha. So some people of the town, they come to him, and look what they say to him. In 2 Kings chapter 2, right in verse 19. He's just really starting his ministry now. And verse 19, then the men of the city said to Elisha, please notice, Elisha, the situation of the city is pleasant, as my Lord sees, but the water is bad, and the ground is barren. And he said, well, bring me a bowl and put salt in it. Seems a little strange, doesn't it? Put salt in it. And so they brought it to him. And then he went out to the source of the water and cast in the salt there and said, thus says the Lord, I have healed this water from it, and there shall be no more death or barrenness. Well, praise God. Here goes Elijah, beginning his ministry. Men come to the city and say, hey, listen, the city's doing good, but the water's bad. The ground is terrible. We can't grow anything. The water's putrid. It's poisonous. What are we going to do? He says, bring me a bowl of salt. He gets that salt. He pours the salt in the source of the river, the stream, whatever it may be. And the water is healed, praise God. And the land is no more barren. It comes alive, praise God. And I love that. What made the change? What made the change from something that was so dead to something that was so alive? What made the change from something that was so barren and fruitless to something that was filled with fruit and nourishing? It was that salt. See, it was that salt, see? So he was supposed to pour in that salt into dead things. He was supposed to pour on the salt of the fragrance of Christ into things that have lost their life a long time ago. We're supposed to pour in that salt to things that are barren and non-nourishing and cold and dark. And see, as we pour in that salt, just like Elisha did, things start to change. That life starts to come in things that were so far gone. Why? What made it? Because we pour in that salt. That's who you and I are. In situations in life, whether it be relationships or where God sends us. And there's a lot of deadness and decay and barrenness and unfruitfulness out there. Why do you think you're the salt of the earth? Because when you leave here, wherever you may go, into families or jobs or ministries, wherever you may go, you are still the salt of the earth. And you pour that salt in wherever you are. It doesn't have to be full-time ministry. It could be a housewife, factory worker, any place. But it's something inside here, who you are, praise God, who God made you to be. You pour in that salt into those dead situations, into those barren situations, into those fruitless situations, especially the ones closest to us. And there's got to be a change. Why? It's the life of God. It's the life of God. It's that life of God that we've got here. We've got here. Don't shut it down. Don't lose your salt. By problems or pressures from people or whatever situations we may face. God, continue to give me strength, God, to be that salt of the earth, Lord Jesus. And you know where that earth is? Whatever's in front of you. That's the earth. Whatever's in front of you. Whatever is in front of you. That salt of the earth, praise God. See, when that salt was poured in, there was a transformation. Just like our life. Just like our life. There was that transformation. Nourishment came. See, when they turned to God, the cause of death was taken away. And even in today's society, in our world, where there's so much dryness and dying, it still needs that salt of the Word of God. to make it alive again, to come alive again. Just two things before I close. We got to be people of salt. When you read this Word of God, all over the Word of God, there's people who were salt. One of them who I love, well, Paul is obviously, but one who I love is a young guy named Jonathan. Remember Jonathan, Saul's son? I mean, this guy, Jonathan, he was salt of the earth, this guy. He was a young guy. Maybe our age here today. Your age, not my age, your age. And he was a young guy. But he has something in him. See, his father, Saul, kind of lost his salt a little bit. He and about 600 of the soldiers were off, kind of camped out. And they were kind of fearful to fight the Philistines. They were kind of just hiding out. And all Israel was fearful. All Israel was hiding in caves, hiding in holes in the ground. No one was taking a chance to fight these Philistines. Nobody. They were intimidated. They were scared. They lost that spice. They lost that heart. They lost that zeal of the salt of the earth. They lost that. Fear came in and robbed that salt. So here's Jonathan. He goes walking one day and he sees a garrison of the Philistine soldiers. It was just a tip of maybe 100,000. It was just the first tip of so many. So the salt in him rises up, that strength of God. He says, hey, listen. He goes to his armor bearer. We could take these guys. Imagine that. Two guys. And there's maybe around maybe 60 guys there. And they're just the beginning of maybe 100,000 guys back on the field there. So he goes, and I'm paraphrasing, we could take these guys. The Lord could save by many or by few. We're two, so we're few. So the Lord could say, we can do this. The Lord could save by many or by few. I love the words of his armor bearer. His armor bearer had the same salt as Jonathan. He said, hey, whatever in your heart to do, I'm with you. Whatever in your heart to do. See, what a spirit that is. You want to talk about the unity of the Word of God? That oneness, togetherness? He says, whatever's in your heart to do, I'm with you. So to make a long story short, he yells out to the garrison. He says, hey, listen. He said, listen, if we yell out to them and they say, come to us, then we know God's going to give them in our hands. But if they say, wait there, they'll come to us, we're going to back off because that ain't God. So he sticks his head out between the rocks and goes, hey, Philistine guys, yo, over here. He may not have said yo, but that's okay. Oh, over here. So they look up and they say, ah, two Israelis. Come here, guys, come here. And Jonathan goes, that's it. That's God's word. And they attacked him. And they started to fight these guys. They had to kill a guy to get the sword for the armor bearer because there were no swords in the land at the time. And they started to bring a victory, praise God. They started to fight. And the Philistines, by the move of God, got so scared, they started to run. I mean, you got a picture. They start with about 20 guys here, and then it kind of cascaded into the 100,000. They all started to run, and Saul's in the camp. Saul's in the camp. You're going, what's that sound? What's that sound? And someone says, that's your kid, Saul. That's Jonathan over there. He's routed in the army. And because what Jonathan then, Saul said, well, come on, let's join the fight. And again, I'm paraphrasing, he joined the fight, he started to run. And when all the people who were hiding in the caves and in the hills, when they heard what was going on, they got their salt back. They started to come out and started to chase the Philistines. And the nation changed, praise God, from one kid who had the salt. From one young man who had salt. That life of God, that flavor of Christ, that preservation from the world, that oneness and unity, how it changed everything. It changed everything. One guy who allowed that salt to flourish, that life of God, that flavor of Christ, that victory, that freedom, that preserved from the corruption of the world, not like everybody else, and who spoke unity. Come on, armor bearer, me and you, we could do this. Wow. Wow. You want to talk about changing the world? Starting right where you are. Lord, give me strength to be salt, God. Whatever you put in front of me, give me strength to be salt. Our last scripture is this. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. Can I have the keyboard player come up, please? Could you be able to do that? Good to see you. In Matthew chapter 5, let's go there. I want to close with this. In Matthew chapter 5, thank the Lord for his Holy Spirit. Amen. In Matthew chapter 5, right in verse 13, Jesus is speaking of the Beatitudes. He just gets done with blessed are those, blessed are. And he goes right into verse 13. Look what he says. He says, you are the salt of the earth. This is Christ speaking. You are. Now, this is not a suggestion. This is a command. You are. He's saying, this is your identity. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? Then it is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the salt of the earth. I think when he was saying that, he was telling those who were listening, and says, I think it was kind of having them check out themselves. Don't lose your salt. Don't lose that flavor of Christ. We face a lot of horrendous situations in our life. Absolutely. Sometimes a lot of pain, a lot of sorrow, a lot of angers, a lot of fears. We all go through emotions like that. Maybe different things touch off, but we all feel those emotions. We all go through pressures and problems and crises and situations and a lot of things going on. That's life. But in the middle of those things, God is saying to us today, as you begin a new season in your life, don't lose your salt. You got salt in you. You got salt of the Word of God in you. You got the salt of the power of the Holy Ghost in you. You got words in you that when you speak words, you will compel those around you to start to see Christ. Because of what's in you. Not us and ourselves. What is in us? That Holy Ghost, that power of God. When you speak, there's got to be some kind of result somewhere. God will bring that. But you speak that word of God. Amen? So I think he's telling us today, don't drift away when you leave here. Don't start to go in the world. Don't get into lukewarmness or compromise ways of the world. Don't lead a life that's good for nothing. I was wondering where my father got that term. But don't live a life that's good for nothing. In other words, letting your soul go and be trampled underfoot. Don't live a life that doesn't matter and blend into this world. Mm-mm. Don't let it be trampled as if you were never here. Salt can change the world. Salt can change right where you are. Salt can change your family and situations. Trust God for that. So I want to encourage you today, be the sweet savior of the Lord. The sweet savor of the Lord. Be that who preserves. Be that who speaks cohesion, oneness, unity, together. Be that. And I just want to encourage you, don't let anybody or anything take your salt. That life of God in you. That strength in you. That identity of who you are, who God made you to be. You continue to pray as we will in a moment. Lord God, give me strength to be salt, God. I don't want to lose my salt by conditions of life, God. Or by situations I go through, God. God, you made me to be something that I wasn't, Lord God. You made me to be salt, God. So by staying that word, and staying this presence, stay separate. Trust him, love him. He's got great things for you. He's got great things for you. I can imagine. Oh, Lord. I can imagine all the people God wants you to speak to. I can imagine all the people God has lined up the next few years of your life that you don't even know them probably, who you need to be salt to. Probably thousands. I don't know. Could be people as close to our family to people you never even heard of in your life. I believe God sees them all lined up, ready to hear a word from you. It could be in Walmart, or it could be from behind a pulpit. It could be in a factory, or it could be in a missions field. It could be anywhere. Because the salt you take with you. And imagine the people that God wants you to touch with salt. That flavor of Christ will compel them to seek Jesus. As God preserves you and keeps you and holds you and never lets you go, he will never let you go. Never. Never. As you speak unity, oneness, togetherness, praise God. There's no islands in the Lord. There's no isolators. Don't be isolated. Stay together. And don't let anything separate you from those things that God has put together. Do not let anybody, any feeling, any emotion, any situation separate you. Don't walk away. Don't walk away. Stay. Stay the course, work it out, praise God. Be salt. And you'll see how different life can be. And the new season you face right now, it's going to be fine. It's going to be just fine. God's got a plan. Some hard things, probably. Excuse me. Some hard things, probably. But that's okay. We got Christ. We got Christ. We deal with anything. We got Christ. And we have all we need of him. Because he is our portion. And he is our inheritance. Amen. And I just want to encourage you today, don't lose your salt. Don't lose your salt. Whatever Wherever you're going in a couple days, a couple weeks, don't lose your salt. Speak the flavor of Christ wherever you go. Let God preserve you away from the world. And you speak unity and oneness. And you be one that brings together and doesn't separate. And you watch how God will bless you. And you will have an inheritance far more than any physical thing. You will have an inheritance of Christ himself. An inheritance of God. See, I don't know about you. That's all I want. And that's all I need. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can we just say thank you to him right now? Just say thank you, Lord Jesus. Just give him a thank you right now. Amen. And I want to pray for you. And I just want to pray maybe for those that come down to the altar. If you're here today and maybe you've gotten so busy. Maybe you've gotten so pulled from other things. Maybe relationships and situations haven't been going right. Whatever it may be, and there's something here that kind of feels like, Lord, I feel like I'm losing my soul, God. That zeal, that fire of God in my belly, God. I know it's a busy time. I understand that. I know that. But even more than that, it's kind of like maybe some here that it's just not the busyness. It's something else in my heart. God, I feel like some things are slipping away, God. I feel like some things in my heart are slipping away, God. And God, I ask you right now, help me to be salt, God. Help me to be salt and not let anything take my salt. Not let anything take the flavor of Christ out of me, God. Not let anything bring me back and make me drift towards the world. Oh, God, maybe I've been not speaking unity as much as I need to, God. And I've been allowing some other things to pull apart some things. But, Lord, it changes today because I face a new season today. A new season today of good things, great things, the power of that covenant of salt. So I want to pray for you. If that's you, if you're saying, Pastor, says I just need that strength to be salt today. I don't want to let anything get in the way of that, especially as I close out one season and begin another. I want to be that salt of the earth. Jesus, strengthen me. Strengthen me, Lord God. And no matter what you have for me, let me be that salt of the earth, oh God. Because you are my inheritance and you are my portion. If that's you, step out of your seat and come down here. And we're going to pray today in Jesus' name. Just play a little bit. Just want to pray. Just come down if that's you. Just in the quietness of the Lord right now. Just in the quietness right now. I don't want to lose my soul, God. Keep me filled, Holy Ghost. Keep me filled, Jesus. It's not about what we do. It's about what he does right now. He's our strength. He's our power. We can't do anything without him. Lord, I don't want to lose my soul. Let's just stay still for a few moments and then I'm going to pray. Let's just the Holy Ghost just minister to you right now. Show us who we are, our identity in you. And Lord, we are the salt of the earth, Lord Jesus. God, thank you for counting us among to be salt, Lord Jesus. Father, I thank you right now today, Lord God, for strength to continue to be salt, Lord God. I know the days are hard, Lord Jesus, and we go through so many things, God. I know that, God. But Father, you made that covenant with us, just like you did with Aaron and his sons, that covenant of salt. That told them not to worry about things, God. That you would be there. You would be their inheritance, their portion, Lord God. So, Father, today, God, we assume that same role, Lord God. We need not worry or allow fear, God. We choose not to fear about the days ahead, Lord God, or situations we face, God. But we trust you, God. We trust in the covenant, the promises you've made to us, God, that you would be there. You would be our portion, our inheritance, Lord God. That you would never leave us, never forsake us, Lord God. That you would always, always, always be there, Lord God. And in your presence is our strength, God. In your presence is all we need, Lord God. In your presence is even our joy and our peace, Lord God. So, Father, I thank you, God. We need not doubt you nor be afraid, Lord God, but to receive that covenant today, Lord God. And, Father, I thank you right now that everyone here who feels like their salt is being drained away, God, or being drifted away, God, I ask right now, God, help us get our salt back, Lord Jesus. Help us get our priorities back, Lord. Focus on you, God. Not be pulled away by the millions of things that make up our life, Lord God. And they all seem to be important at times, God, but the most important thing is you, Lord God. Our time with you. Who you say we are, Lord Jesus. So we ask right now for a filling right now, God. A filling of salt, Lord Jesus. That you would fill each and every one of us, Lord God, right now, Lord God. By the wonderful presence of your Holy Spirit, God. And Father, help some of us get our salt back, Lord Jesus. That zeal, that fight, Lord God. Oh, Lord Jesus, that hope back, Lord. Some of our hope has been so decimated sometimes. Get our hope back, Lord God. Father, preserve us from the world, God. The pull of the world, Lord God, and all its expectations, God. Let that salt preserve our purity, our oneness, our wholeness, Lord Jesus. And God, cause us to speak unity in what is God. Father, don't let us walk away from uncomfortable situations, God. Or even offensive and tough situations, God. But Father, rise up in us, Lord Jesus. That spirit, God, that salt, that esteems others more highly than ourselves, Lord God, knows that you'll take care of us, Lord God. But we need to look out for others, Lord Jesus. In unity, in oneness, cohesion, Lord Jesus. Help us never to be those who walk away, God. But we walk toward, Lord God, because of you. And Lord, I thank you that last week we could be the flavor of Christ, God. We could be the sweet savor of Christ, no matter where we go, no matter what you have for us in the upcoming weeks and months, Lord God. Wherever you send us, whatever you have for us to do, Lord God. We take the salt with us, Lord God. So help us flavor, God, our families, where we go to work, God, friends, situation, whatever it may be, God. But let us be that flavor of Christ. Let us be that sweet savor, that incense. When people see us, God, they know something's different. Because it's you, Jesus. Lord, we love you. And Father, we want to thank you for what's upcoming, Lord God. The season ahead, God, it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be good, God, because you're there, Lord Jesus. And that's all we know. So Holy Spirit, thank you for salt today. Thank you for salt today, Lord God. Be glorified in everything that we see, think, and do. Be glorified as we leave this place today. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. I guess for the next few moments, you could just linger for a while, just for a few minutes before lunch or whatever it may be. So I want to thank you. I wish you the best and wish a beautiful season upcoming for all of you. In Jesus' name. Amen.